Harper Audio presents Double Take, a memoir written and read by Kevin Michael Connolly. Double Take, a literal or figurative second look at a person or situation whose significance was not entirely grasped at first. Soon after we can see, we are aware that we can also be seen. The eye of the other combines with our own eye to make it fully credible that we are part of the visible world. John Berger, Ways of Seeing. Chapter 1. Birthday. "You are an exclamation point on a really tough couple of years," is what my mom says about my birth. I'm calling my mother from my apartment in Bozeman to ask her about something I've always wanted to know, but have been a little reluctant to get into. Up until now, I'd always avoided asking too much about the time directly following my birth, for fear that it might bring back feelings neither of us wanted to deal with again. But first we must have the obligatory talk about Montana's mercurial spring weather. After a week of blizzards and deliriously frigid temperatures, the cold had let up long enough for the snow to turn into a brown goulash of dirt and ice. It's the time of year when most people become homebodies, seeking anything that is warm and dry. Except, as Mom quickly tells me, a good portion of our home is now submerged in water. Earlier in the day, a pipe had sprung a leak and had emptied gallons into the kitchen, soaking through the floorboards and down into the basement. "The kitchen is totally flooded. The whole floor is going to have to be replaced." She sighs, then laughs. "Oh well, we've been through worse." I imagine the kitchen, swollen and bloated, weeping out the old mold and dust of our family's history. I know that Mom and Dad will patch it back together themselves, and Dad confirms my speculation by yelling over Mom that he's going to the hardware store later. He's already had a couple of beers by the sound of his laugh. My parents don't have much money. They never did. There is a picture in the entryway that shows our house in the state that my parents first purchased it. Weeds that came up to my head, 3 feet 1 inch incidentally, made up the front yard and lined a dirt ditch, driveway, and road. The down payment for the ranch house 5 miles outside Helena cost $2,000. In 1984, it was what they could afford. They purchased the house a year before I was born, in the midst of a run of family disasters. Mom's sister, Mickey, had been diagnosed with brain cancer. By the time of my mom's pregnancy, she had become terminally ill. A single mother with 4 kids, she asked my mom to take custody of her children. She died in March, when Mom was 4 months pregnant with me. Even before Mickey passed away, Mom had started attending court hearings to decide who was to get custody of Mickey's children, my parents or Mickey's ex-husband. As my mom's stomach grew, so did the question of whether she would be caring for 1 child or 5. As Mom split her time between court and visits to her sister in the nursing home, her father was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Shortly thereafter, her mother was diagnosed with skin cancer. It seemed impossible to have this much bad luck all at once. Recalling all this, Mom pauses for a moment. I imagine her sitting in the living room with blue carpet under her feet. The smell of water and rotting wood emanating from the kitchen. The sound of Dad's television upstairs. Our golden retriever, Tuck, in the entryway. Frost on the windows and the dim light of 60-watt bulbs filling the interior. Lining up her thoughts before letting them all out in one rushed breath, I finally hear her exhale, slowly. "There are 2 sides to this stretch of time. My personality is pretty resilient, but there was so much going on, my mom and dad getting cancer, Mickey dying, fighting for her kids, it was hard not to get down. The one positive in all of this was my pregnancy. We'd been married for 3 years, and your dad and I really wanted a baby, so we were leaning pretty heavily on the excitement of having our first kid." I listen on the other end of the line, knowing how the story ends, thinking about the crisis my birth must have been. The final surprise began on August 17th, around 6 in the morning. Sleeping in their old waterbed, my mom woke up in a puddle, her nightgown drenched. "Brian, I think the bed broke," she cried, shaking him awake. "Marie, I don't think it's the bed." 2 weeks before I was due, Mom's water had broken. An hour later, they were at the local hospital. The doctor was on vacation, and Mom's parents were in Utah for cancer treatment. After 12 hours, Mom was still waiting for her first contractions, so the doctors decided to try and induce the birth. Loaded up on Pitocin, a drug that jump-started a series of painful contractions, Mom went into hard labor around 7 that night. 3 hours later, I still hadn't come out, and Dad began to get excited. "Hold on, a couple more hours and you'll have him on your birthday." Indeed, the hours inched along, and Mom's labor continued past the midnight mark. On August 18th, I was born. She turned 28, and I turned 0.